Sit down, please. We live in an age of distraction and disclosure. You know, I bought an iPhone 5 lately. And before you leave chapel, I'm going to post that on my Facebook wall. Weird, right? You have just photobombed my selfie. I don't think anyone ever predicted that phrase would be used in chapel. Think of S.C. Yuvasaker, he'd freak. But we do live in a world full of distractions and disclosure, and the first the paintings that we see is the school model of the one thing needful with Jesus in the home of Mary and Martha, and this is the quintessential distraction. Martha is tattling on her sister. It's lunchtime, we need to have some food for our guests, and she's not helping. So it's totally embarrassing. It has to be one of the most embarrassing, I think. And yet, remember that as we look at it, you're Martha. You don't get to be Mary. Because, well, for instance, it's an iPhone 5, and I have some apps on it. And I have a Bible app on it. A Bible app. Great. What do I open more? I also have Candy Crush. I have NFL Runner. Wow. So we're coming from a media-soaked culture that we're continually bombarded with images. And to have a painting in our chapel helps us to fight those distractions. It helps us to focus. What are we here for? It designates what the space is being used for. It's part of a worship space where we want to reassert the motto of our school, the one thing needful. I guess we can open it now. In the 12th century, this would have been considered a multimedia experience because this is a triptych. It's an altarpiece that has moving doors. It's painted in oil. It was completed in 1995, so it was commissioned the year most of you were born, I think. So it's about 18 or 19 years old already. The statistics sometimes are interesting, but they don't matter as much. It's painted on Belgian linen, and it has a primer of rabbit skin glue, and the models. It has some of the models. Mary and Martha were current students at the time, Julie Westfall and Sarah Bladel. I just happened to see them in the hall and said, you know what, can you help me out on this? The theater department, Esther Merseth, brought costumes from a production they had done at another local college in town. And the Mary in this triptych was a member of the Mankato Ballet, and I still don't know who she is. And so part of the point of telling you these other aspects of the altarpiece is it isn't just one person. It wasn't just me. To create an altarpiece for a worship space takes many people, not just the models, but also a faculty committee, a president with vision, a board of regents, a donor, a community of believers that supports the ideas that it projects. So the artist is only one part of it. And as we look at the altarpiece, it also is disclosing our beliefs, the chief beliefs of the Christian faith. Christ was born, came to the world as a baby. The scene actually represents the flight into Egypt. I thought instead of doing the manger scene, if I could do the flight into Egypt, I could include some disguised symbolism, which art history students know all about. But to use objects in the foreground that would suggest the meaning of Christ and his coming into the world. So you have the apple, which was supposed to symbolize the forbidden fruit or what caused that sin in the world. There's a lamp, an oil lamp, the light of the world. There's a vessel holding liquid for the living water. And there's a hammer and nails that are a premonition of his crucifixion. And they're resting while they're running away as he's being persecuted as a child. There was a death sentence on him at that time. To show Christ crucified, then, the deed, it is finished. He's died for our sins, is the central panel. I used a red underpainting because I wanted to try to paint like the blood. I was told by the president at that time not to make it too bloody because we don't want to look at that every day. It's too gruesome, it's too grisly. Because crucifixion aficionados will always find problems with paintings. They'll always say, "Oh, you should have separated the feet. No, you should have combine the feet. Oh, he should be bending more." But it's a symbol. It's an image of the crucifixion. It's not a photograph. It's not the actual event. It's a reminder of the event. It's to focus your distractions, your distracting ways. The model is the most fun trivia for the altarpiece is that the model for Jesus was a local man who came to an art show at Bethany. And he looked like that. He had long hair and a goatee, and he had about the right physique that I thought would work. And I asked him to pose as Jesus, and it turned out that he was a 33-year-old carpenter. So I thought, I think I have the right man. I literally had the housekeeping maintenance build a cross and then attached him. I tied him to the cross. I didn't nail him. And interestingly enough, he showed up on campus last spring, the model. He doesn't look like this anymore. Because if you add 33 and 17, now he's older. Let's say older. The attendance at the cross, too, it was a current student, Quist. And then the skull itself is a symbol of Christ's victory over death. Was used in ancient art throughout history, so I wanted to include it in mine. And also, they talk about this happening at the place of the skull, or at Golgotha, so you put the skull in. But typically in Byzantine work, you see blood arching from the wounds and dripping onto the skull. I decided not to use that one. The last panel, of course, is Christ's victory over death, the resurrection. So the three key points of our faith in Jesus Christ for our salvation are asserted in the altarpiece. The one other trivia that I might as well use is baby Jesus is also a current student here now. He posed for it at the time. He also plays in Midlife Crisis occasionally. The band, if you're wondering who it is. As we sit in chapel and try to get past the many distractions, not just the iPhone, but our assignments, our other problems and issues, it's my hope that the painting will offer some respite from your worries and will enhance your worship. And it was a privilege for me to work with these many people at Bethany to make this possible. Thank you.